I want you to look at that transitional job, and here's what God is telling you. Do it better than anybody else would do it. Do it with all of your heart. Do it with integrity.
This is Straight Talk.
Good evening. Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Hollick, in the studio with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. And New Life Community Church is a unique place here in the city of Chicago. And Pastor Mark, what would you say to somebody out there who may not have a church home, or who's been listening online, or they've been listening on the radio, and they want to grow in their faith?
Yeah, I would say find a good church, gospel preaching, Jesus honoring, faith-filled, love-filled church. And there's some great churches around Chicagoland, and I'm friends with a lot of great pastors that really love Jesus and are in this city. But we'd invite you also, if you don't know where to go, we'd love for you to check out one of our locations in and around Chicagoland area. And if you get onto our website, you can go to our page that says locations, and you'll have a map of Chicagoland, and you can find one of our locations that's near you. We'd love to have you visit, and if you do, please let the pastor know that you heard about this through Straight Talk. We'd love to hear how our radio listeners give us some feedback.
If you say, I love God, I have a heart for God, I really haven't connected with the Church of Jesus, we want to challenge you this summer to visit, at least just take a visit to a good gospel preaching church. And as Pastor Mark said, if you don't know where to go, come visit us. You can find out more information at www.newlifechicago.org. God bless you.
Thanks, Josh. We continue with Pastor Mark's message called The Hard Work of Waiting tonight. It's from his Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down series. We'll be in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be focusing on verses 9 through 12. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. So if you're taking notes, jot this down for the second part of this. Waiting for Jesus not only means that we increase in our love for others, but waiting for Jesus means working at being self-supporting. It not only has to do with our relational testimony, it has to do with our economic testimony. Now, this is a very interesting set of verses because he says, first of all, make it your ambition. Ambition is this inner drive. If it hasn't been your ambition, some people say, well, my ambition is to make it to the top of the ladder, be the CEO of my company, be a millionaire by the time I'm 30, or whatever your ambition may be. But have you ever heard someone be ambitious about leading a quiet life? Well, that seems a little weird. Quiet life means this. It means a tranquil, content, secure attitude in your heart. Make it your ambition to be content and secure and tranquil in your heart. It's the opposite of a busybody. It's the opposite of someone that's always stirring up trouble everywhere they go. Problems, attitudes. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after wind. How about it? Better to have one handful than have tranquility than have two handfuls and be all stressed out and full of issues and problems. And so he says, hey, some of you, everywhere you go, you create problems and trouble, and there's always conflict around you. And he says, hey, listen, I want you to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In other words, to be content with what you have. Some Christians are like volcanoes. They're waiting to erupt anywhere they go. They live on the edge, they stuff their frustrations down, and they're constantly running into trouble wherever they go. How about it? Have you run into people like that? You know, it reminds me of the old Greek grandfather who his grandson decided he was taking a nap, and his grandson decided that he would play a little trick on him. So he took this old moldy cheese and he rubbed it in his grandfather's big thick mustache. So the grandfather woke up from his nap And he said, I stink. He walked through his house a little bit and he said, this house stinks. He opened up the front door of his house. He started smelling. He said, this whole world stinks. But really the problem, you got it, was right under his nose. And how about it? Sometimes you find yourself in a lot of conflict, a lot of issues with people around. And maybe if you find yourself in a lot of ongoing conflicts, maybe it just could be that there's an issue that God is trying to deal with in your own life. So he says, hey, make it your ambition to be content, to have this contentedness about your life that doesn't stir up trouble. Secondly, to mind your own business. Oh, wow. Did you know that the Bible says that? Mind your own business. Now, love gets involved. So I'm not talking about coming and not getting involved in anybody else's life, because I think love gets involved in people's lives. But minding your own business is the opposite of a busybody. Minding your own business means that, well, it's what 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 says about, it's talking about widows that need to get remarried. It says, besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but they also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. You know that sometimes we get involved in things we shouldn't get involved in? That we need to look at our own life and say, is my life in order? Is my house in order? Is my marriage in order? Are my kids in order? And sometimes we get so involved in everybody else's issues that we don't have a chance to really deal with our own issues. And sometimes we spiritualize it. Call up someone, hey, sister, just thought I'd share with you. Did you know sister so-and-so went out with brother so-and-so? And did this and did that. And I think, okay, I'm just calling you. It's just a prayer request, sister. Whoa, hold on. Was that a gossip or a prayer request? Just because you say it's a prayer request at the end doesn't mean it wasn't gossip. Did you really want them to pray, or did you want to spread some gossip and want to spiritualize it into prayer language? The point that Paul is making is, hey, as you wait for Jesus, keep yourself pure, love other people, and focus on what God has called you to do. If you're married, make sure your marriage is good. If you have a job, work at it hard. If you have a ministry, focus on it. Stop getting involved in so many things. Stop creating trouble in so many things. Stop being a busybody in what you do. He says, mind your own business. It's the opposite of busybody. It's the opposite of stirring up and meddling in things that you probably shouldn't meddle in. He says, mind your own stuff. Focus on your own stuff. The time is short. And then he says, listen to what he says in the latter part of this, and he says, and work with your hands just as we told you. Work with your hands, in essence, it means work hard. Let me tell you something. Listen, there's something about work, any job, by the way, any job that you do, if you do it for God, there's dignity in any job. Some people look at some jobs and I don't like that job. That's a low paying, low scummy job. I want the high job. Can I tell you something? It's not about the job. It's about the way you do the job that gives it dignity. And I don't care if you're washing dishes in a restaurant. If you do it for God and you do it well with integrity, you want to make sure those dishes are washed better than any other dishes. Why? Because you're doing it for God. And when God looks down, God says, wow, that guy has an important job. There's dignity in that job. Never let anybody despise what you do. You are not defined by the job that you do, but you are defined by how you choose to do the job that you do. And whatever you do, do it as though you were doing it for God, as though God were your boss. You do it whether your boss is watching you or not, whether he's there or not. You show up in time. You do it with integrity. In fact, let me tell you this. I believe that Christians should be the best workers on the face of this earth, hands down. In fact, I believe that if we really were, which oftentimes we're not, how do you know I've met a lot of Christians? If we really were, I hope that if we were doing what we're supposed to be doing, I think we would have job agencies lined up. I want to hire a Christian. Why? Man, Christians are hard workers. They're honest. They do a great job. We should have the reputation of being strong, hard workers. Why? Because when your boss is God, when whatever you do it for the glory of God, you do it for the honor of God, then you do whatever you do with excellence, whether it's running a company or sweeping streets, you do it for the honor and the glory of God, and there's dignity in the job that you do because you know that this is part of what you do for God's sake and God's glory. So you may be right now not in the job that you want. And listen to me well. Sometimes when we're not in the job that we want, we do it half-heartedly and we despise what we're doing as a step to the job that we really want. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just nod your head. Okay, if you're in the job that you don't want and you say, this is really not what the job I want to do. It's really not the job I want to end up doing. This is just a transitional job. This is just a stepping stone for my real job. If you can relate to that, here's my challenge to you. I want you to look at that transitional job and here's what God is telling you. Do it better than anybody else would do it. Do it with all of your heart. Do it with integrity. Do it as though you said, God is my direct supervisor, and whatever I do, I want to do it to the best of my abilities because I'm doing it for God. And I believe that it'll change the attitude because sometimes we have something that we despise, and if we do a lousy job with what we have, you can't expect God to give you something better. Some of you are sticking yourselves in the place that you're at because you're doing it lousy and you're asking God to give you something better. And God is saying, listen, I practice the law of stewardship. Unless you do better at what you have, I'm not going to give something better to you when what I've given to you, you treat with such loathe and so low quality. Hello.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Hard Work of Waiting, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down. After the broadcast, I will tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Pastor Mark's message tonight is called The Hard Work of Waiting.
So God may be keeping you extra long there until you finally learn to appreciate it and do it with quality. How many of you are motivated to do it with quality now? All right. And if you wonder why, he says this, so that, verse 12, your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. The purpose and focus of this hard work is twofold. Number one, it's for outsiders. Do you realize that people listen better to people that they respect? Well, let me say that again. People listen better to people who they respect. If Monday through Friday, you're not pulling your weight, working hard, showing up on time, responsible, then what Paul was saying is people are going to come to the church and they're going to see your life and your coworkers are going to see you and the message of Christ is going to be lost as they look at you because they're not going to respect you because they've seen how you work. And then when you try to talk to them about Jesus, they're like, yeah, Jesus, whatever. I've seen how you work. I've seen you at your job Monday through Friday. Hey, you can raise your hand all you want and carry a big Bible on Sunday, but I see how you operate Monday through Friday. And so you lose your testimony, not because you don't know the word, not because you're not a prayer warrior, not because you don't know Bible verses, but because you're a lousy worker. And he says the outsiders are going to come in and look at what you do, and they're going to not respect you and not listen to you because they look at how you operate, and you will lose the respect of outsiders, unbelievers, and your message will not be listened to because you haven't built respect in people's lives. And so Paul says, the reason that you are to do this, and I believe this, listen, you gain respect from the outsiders because they see the way you work. People that don't know God begin to see that you operate with a different attitude, that you have a different perspective, that you go beyond the norm in the way you operate, and you point to Jesus and your faith and your values. That's what drives you there. And they start gaining respect for what you do because they see how you operate and how you live your life. Listen, I believe that the people of God, that's why years ago we determined at this church that we may have needs, but we would never be needy. And we determined years ago at this church, over 20-some years ago, that we would give to missions and give outside, that we would take 10% of what came in of our tithes and offerings, and that we would invest in projects and new works and new church plants and overseas. Why? We determined that we may have needs, but we would not be a needy people. There's something about being needy. Oh, I know that we all have needs at times, but when you get in a needy mentality, then you get in a gimme, 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 I can't, I can't, I can't. When you understand that I can and I have something to give, and that there's something that I can contribute to this neighborhood, and that I'm going to make this place a better place, and that I'm going to work hard to do what God has called me to do, and that we're going to be givers, and we're going to be generous, and we're going to take something and do something with it. Listen, the world respects that. I remember when we bought this building. We were having community meetings out here. And someone was kind of didn't want us to be in this building, didn't want us to buy this building. I remember one lady said, yeah, well, who gave you guys all that money to buy that building? Where'd that money come from? And someone stood up and said, our tithes and offerings. We paid for this building. She was shocked. She said, oh, okay. Then she turned to the lady next to her and says, man, how come our church doesn't give like that? You know, hey, here's the thing. When we work hard and become the people of God, we become givers and we become generous and we become people that rise up with some economic power to use some force to influence other people for the glory and the goodness of God. If we're all lazy and not working and just we pray a lot but we don't do our job well, then that testimony is torn down. As we wait for Jesus Christ, we need to work hard at what we do. We need to prosper at what we do because we work harder than anybody else, but our motives are different. Our motives aren't to become wealthy. Our motives are to glorify God and to use the resources of God for the purposes of His kingdom. Amen? And lastly, I close with this. Listen, and then he says, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So that you will not be dependent on anybody to gain financial independence. Can I tell you something? Listen to me well. If you depend on other people, every time you depend on other people financially, you lose something. How many conversations have I had with single moms? Listen, single moms, I love you. You know that. And I love you because I know you have a job that's harder than most people because you have to be a mother and a father and support. And you have a stress that very few people understand. And we've always had a huge heart in this church for single moms. But I am tired of talking to single moms that are shacking up with abusive, physically, mentally, verbally abusive men, and you're taking it, and they won't marry you, and they use you, and they abuse you, and they treat you like trash, simply because you tell me, well, I don't know how I'm going to make it, how I'm going to pay my bills. And if you're living with a guy that you know is not right for you, just because it's financially better for you, then I'm going to tell you something. Listen, you need to go out, get a job, get on your own two feet, give some dignity to your children, give some future to your children. I don't want your little girls to grow up and think that their destiny is to live with some abusive guy. That's not their destiny. But if you put up with it just for financial prosperity, if you put up with it just for finances, then your little girl is going to grow up one day when she's 17 years old. She's going to hook up with some guy that treats her like dirt because she has been trained and taught and coached to have a man treat her like garbage because she's simply depending on him economically. And the Bible says, listen, so that you not be dependent on anybody. Listen, if you're a young man, you're in your 20s, you're 25, you're physically healthy, you should not be dependent on your mother. Seriously. Well, Pastor, I want to get married. Okay, great. Glad you want to get married. How old are you? 27. Where are you living? With my mom. You want to get married? Get a job first. Get independent. If you're healthy physically, oh, I know we live in a recession time. You know, I'm waiting for the right job. Don't wait for the right job. Get any job. Get any job. It's easier to steer a car when it's moving than when it's standing still. You need to start whatever. There are jobs out there if you're willing to get a job. You need to get out there. You need to work. You need to work hard. You need to work long hours. You need to get financially, economically independent. Why? Because it pleases God as you wait for the coming of Jesus Christ. And it's a testimony to the outsiders. There's something about working hard and not having idle time on our hands that gets us in a lot of trouble. So you need to work hard, get a job, and say, God, I'm doing this for your honor and your glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'd like for us to stand together. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming again. I'm not going to predict the time or the date because I don't know it. But I'm just wondering, if he were to come tomorrow, it were plastered all over the news, signs in the heaven, red sky, trumpet, something weird happened, and a whole bunch of people disappeared. Would you be ready? Seriously. Are you walking in purity? Your temple is the body of the Holy Spirit. If he were to come tomorrow, you'd say, hey, I hope he doesn't come in. I got a lot of things I need to get right. What are you waiting for? The Bible says he'll come as a thief in the night. If he were to come tomorrow, are you right with God today? Are you living in purity? Are you loving people that you're supposed to love, forgiving people that you're supposed to love, or do you have a long list of people that you need to make things right with before tomorrow would hit? Is that I got a list of about 20 people I need to call, ask forgiveness, get things right with before I meet my maker. Hey, what are you waiting for? And are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Focused on what you're supposed to be focused on. Because I tell you, Jesus could come at any moment. We live in prepared for the imminent return of Christ. And if you have questions about that, next week we're going to be talking more about that. More about some of the details of that. But we believe that Jesus Christ will come again. That he left and he ascended, but he will come again. And even if you think it might be a long time till Jesus comes again, guess what? Your heart could give out tomorrow.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk radio series called Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down. And tonight was the second half of his message called The Hard Work of Waiting. Join us again on the next Straight Talk as we continue a new message called How to Be Ready for His Second Coming. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk. And on behalf of Pastor Mark, Josh, and myself, thanks for listening. Have a great night, and God bless.